Who has an iPhone? Who has an Android? I got an Android recently because of one feature. That assistant for when you're getting a call. Has anyone seen how that thing works? If someone's calling you, you can just click screen call. And then this thing goes, hi, this is like Sam's phone. What are you calling about? And then they say, and then it just transcribes it in real time on my screen. I can see, and then I can press a button and it will be like, tell me more, or what was your name, or like, you know, different things. And then I can choose at any point to just click talk and it just be like, hey, how's it going? Or I can just click, sorry, he's not available. And I got it just for that feature. No, it's the native phone. It's like, it's only available on the phone. It's not an app. It's the Pixel 3. Yeah, but that was the main reason why I got it. But that didn't really, no one really has my number or calls me anyway. So like, it doesn't add that much value, but I just wanted that feature bad. Because everyone has experienced the time when you see a number and you're like, oh, it could be that person. You know what I mean? It could be that person that, like, you know, you've always got a person who you're expecting a call from and it's important, and you answer it and it's fucking the wrong person. You can't get rid of that, like, and it's annoying. You're like, damn, I shouldn't have answered it. True. It gives you some, but you can't. The cool thing I like about this is it doesn't even require your hearing or speaking. So it truly just shows it, which, and then you just tap one button because it uses AI to figure out what response you might want to add, and it just shows it as a button. So you don't even have to type it or speak it or do anything. And it's real time. It's not like the person says it and then it's like waiting, calling me. Then I answer, then I've got to listen to it, and then I've got to choose an option. But that's probably better than nothing. Anyway, my point with this was, that was the feature I wanted, and also iCloud sucks. Google Drive is the best, especially if you use G Suite Business, which you should, because it's $10 a user per month and you get unlimited Google Drive storage. But you also get unlimited Drive storage with your Pixel, and it just saves everything to Drive instead of iCloud. But one cool accidental byproduct, which was actually the most value I got from the Pixel, was its UI and its user experience is nowhere near as good as an iPhone X. Like, an early iPhone, yeah, it's probably better, but iPhone X is amazing. And what I didn't understand is, like, it was worse, and at first I was like, oh, damn, the iPhone X was kind of better. I fucking never used the thing. And I was like, that's actually a good thing. I was like, that's a benefit. But most people would think that's not a positive thing. They'd think so it's actually been a great choice. If you want to use your phone less, get an Android. I'm not kidding. Like, nothing will make more of a difference. My screen time's gone down to like 21 minutes, and 20 of those minutes is meditation. No kidding. That's it. If it wasn't for the 20-minute meditation, then it would be probably be like non-existent. But we're going to go into this topic of sacrifice, and I can tell you, you just need to go out. If you want to do some market research on this, just go for a walk and just watch the human race go like this. Like, it's real bad. Like, it's actually a problem, like a really bad problem. And it's ruining people's brains and everything. And if you want to sacrifice, one of the easiest places to grab a lot from is bloody phone time. Just looking at that thing and checking that thing and using that thing. And what you should do if you've got an iPhone or an Android is turn on like that screen timer. It'll just calculate it in the background. I made at the New York Mastermind, I made people do it. And it had already been tracking them, and I looked at some people's. Some people had 5 hours. These were people in the mastermind. 5 hours on a fucking phone. That's kind of sad. That's a lot of life, you know, like, for what? So if you're spending any more than honestly, like 40 minutes on your phone, and you can tell, you don't, this isn't like a subjective, oh, am I? It's like, no, the phone tells you. Like, if you're spending more than 40 minutes on that thing, that is a place to get some, to take some from. This is an easy spot. If the two places where you get a lot from, well, there's a few. Phone, social media, and food. Those are probably the three best. Or alcohol, if you drink alcohol, yeah, that robs massive time. Because it's not just the going out and the doing of it, it's the consequences that come from the doing of it. So it has this long half-life. You know, it can be like you do the act, you pay for a week. So it has a long tail to it. So it's really not good. But we'll go through some of the things that you can sacrifice, because I know a lot of them, because I'm constantly looking and finding them and sacrificing them. And the why we're going to start here is because to do this, you need time, energy, attention. To build anything good takes time. And you have to try and you have to care. Like, there's no one that does things without that. If you do something without those ingredients, it will just be shit. It might build it, but everyone's going to look at it and just be like, yuck. And you can't build any business off that. So we're going to start here, free up time, energy, focus, so then we can build these other things. So we'll get to it. I'm just going to take a photo of this so that I remember as we go through. So the best way to, the argument for this and why this is important is because we can't build things or do anything without action, and action requires time and energy. We can't get that from any other thing other than our human body. And our human body can't perform concurrent operations or be replicated. So you are actually, the true constraint of being human is time and energy. Those are basically the two things. That's what life is. Energy over time. That's all you have. And so where you put it determines what you get. And what's interesting to me is that there are, every human has the same amount of energy and time, like give or take different lifespans, but on average, right? So that's like normally distributed. You don't see an exponential curve with distribution of time and energy and focus. But when you look at the results people get, it is anything but normal. It is the most skewed distribution curve you've ever seen in your entire life. There are people that have trillion-dollar companies, and there are people who have no company. Like, compare that to the time. The human beings, the two humans variables in this equation, they are the same. They trade the same thing. They eat the same. They eat slightly different things probably, but they're still eating organic materials. They're still functioning as a organism. There's no AI robots yet. So there's no, I like things, I like understanding things that you just absolutely know are true. And then we can work from there, right? So that when you understand that, it makes you think differently about what you choose to do. Because you can't get it back. Like, you could choose to grow a YouTube channel, right? Sure, that'd be great. I'd like to have a YouTube channel like Casey Neistat or something. But that dude has to trade his life for that. That's his life's work. He doesn't have other things. You know what I mean? And so you could also build YouTube as a platform, right? But you can't do that and be Casey Neistat. You can't do like everything. So you have to pick, you have to very carefully pick your battles, and not, the worst thing you can do is like not choose something, not commit to something, or try to do lots of things. All of these things are wrong. The best thing you can do is choose the right thing and stay on that thing for your life. Yeah. So this is where we get into sacrifice. So how do we determine what we sacrifice? Always comes back to this. So there's two types of, if we're here, if we're here and then the goal is here, then this thing here, what's a good thing for an action? We'll just call it an action. I'll define this as X action. Then you wanna, this is how I measure the things and decide what to sacrifice and what not to sacrifice. So if I combine this X action with now, does it make progress towards goal? Or does it make no difference? Or does it regress? Regression is away from goal, right? Now, you can't even start to do this sort of reasoning until you actually define this. That's why we started here. Because you can't optimize variables to be efficient at achieving anything or everything. That doesn't work. You can only optimize, it's like a, think of this as a conversion pixel or a custom conversion, right? This is exactly what it is. This is how machine learning algorithms work, and they know how to target and narrow down and optimize, because you set the thing that you want, you load it with the variables that it is to shuffle and optimize, and then it gets to work shuffling the best combination of variables to achieve that result. That's what it does. That, if you have really clean thinking, that's what you can do with your brain, actually better than that algorithm. So you have to state the goal. You don't launch a Facebook ads campaign and it's like, what's the goal, the conversion event? You're like, don't know. I don't know what would happen. Probably nothing. So we've already done the goal. We know where we are now. Then we have to ask ourselves, does this action get us there? So to use like some real basic examples, like does drinking 20 beers and being hungover for a week get me closer towards $1 million a month? Does it?
Yeah.
Does it get me just the same?
No, regression.
Yeah, pretty bad regression. And then it even has second order consequences where like, now I'm depressed, that's what I did, and I know I didn't want to do that, so now I'm beating myself up, so now I'm getting second, third, fourth order consequences, right? So now I'm really getting fucked for my decision. And you have to learn to look at your decisions like this. They're not just those immediate isolated things, they have second, third, fourth order consequences all the way down. And when you start to look at things clearly, like going out and getting drunk and being hungover, and what the real cost of that is, you won't do it anymore. Maybe unless you're an alcoholic. in which case you would need to find, you'd need to change your environment. If your friends always take, like, beg you on, I don't think I could have been this rational and had enough willpower to not drink in my old environment because it was so ingrained. Plus, New Zealand culture is all about drinking too. And so, yeah, when you really look at this seriously and you think this is really important, then sometimes it takes extreme measures to change it. Not just willpower, but changing your environment. Another one is spending 5 hours on your phone staring mindlessly into photos of other people eating ice cream and kissing babies and shit like that. Does that get us closer towards the goal? Nope. So you see how to do this thing? It's pretty easy. So now, it's most people are quite unaware of what, where their time goes. Because we know how to evaluate whether a thing we do is should be done or not done, right? But how do we know what things we do so that we can actually choose which things to eliminate? So you actually need a, you need to take a baseline and you need to know where your time currently goes. And I pretty much do this at every single event, but the exercise is just called like 100 units of time. And it's very simple. You just want to set like an alarm on your phone, a repeat alarm, for like every 30 minutes, every hour. You want to have a notebook next to you, like the ones that we handed out, any type of notebook. And then every 30 minutes or every hour, just write down what you did. What were you doing? And you've got to be totally honest for it. So if you were looking at Facebook, don't say that you were like doing sales calls. Because a lot of the stuff we talk about requires people to be honest with themselves, pretty much everything. And so really record down where it goes. And then do that for 7 days. And don't change what you do for those 7 days to try and make it look better. You'll get the best results if you just truly do what you normally do. And you were just recording it to just get a baseline. Kind of like a blood test, you know? Just take a measurement of it. And then once you've done that for 7 days, you want to then take all of those objects that you spent time on, and you want to categorize them. So you can create a category, like let's say you watched Game of Thrones one night on Netflix, then you watched, I don't know what other shows there are on, actually Game of Thrones isn't even on Netflix, is it? I'm just going to make up some stuff. So let's say you watch Game of Thrones on Netflix for a few nights, and then you watch some other show on Netflix, and then you watch some other show on Netflix. We could just create a category called Netflix, right? And then if you were doing email, but to all of these different people, sometimes reading, sometimes replying, you could just categorize this as email. You get what I'm saying? So that we can create some categories that encapsulate these different objects. And then you want to add up the time total for each category. So if I watched 9 episodes on Netflix each 1 hour, the Netflix category would have 9 hours total. Now we can see where our time goes on a week into these different activities. Now you're not just recording your time during work hours. It's all of the time except for the time you're asleep. Because when you wake up, you can write down how long that was. Because you want to know personal life and business life. It's all the same thing, really. It's life. And a lot of business wins come from personal life. A lot of personal life wins come from business life. These two are like synonymous. You measure both. And then you can work out the total amount of time. So you take up all the categories. Sum it. Let's say it was, I don't know, 100 hours. Now, if Netflix was 9 hours and the total time I recorded was 100, then that would be... that would be 9%. So then you assign a percentage category to each one, right? Now you actually have a good snapshot of where your time goes on a percentage basis. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes. Nothing will be more enlightening to a human than doing that exercise, because time is a blur, it's like a concept, and it's, if you don't measure the thing and you don't actually record it and track it, like, it's an unknown thing. It's just, it's like a human being before they actually knew how human anatomy worked back in like Da Vinci's era, right? He was one of the first people to dissect a human body and actually see that the heart was here and that it pumped blood around. People at that time thought that your head was a cooling mechanism for blood. It was just cooler, because you can see how they probably got hot when they were moving, and then their face felt cold when it was sweating. So they're probably like, ah, okay, cooler, blood cooler. People were totally unaware. They had no damn idea what was going on. They didn't know a brain was in there, and that their brain thought or had synapses in it or neurons. So when something's unaware, you truly have no fucking idea. And time and where people spend their time is the same. It's totally like that. People have no idea. So you want to take something that you have no awareness of and make it very aware. And that's how you have to do that first before you can make any type of change. Because until you make the unconscious conscious, it'll dictate your life and you will call it fate. So here we're making it conscious. Make sense? Yeah, so you do it like, this isn't a do once, done forever thing. Life changes, your job, your responsibilities change, like, or everything changes. So you have to do this every now and then. Like, I would probably recommend doing it like once every month or once every 2 months, because things change. Like, there was a point in time where I was doing a customer interview pretty much every day. And I was doing Instagram stories every day. I was releasing like a blog post, and I was doing like all of this other stuff, Q&As for all of these different programs. And that was fine, and it was working fine for a few months, like maybe even 6 months. But then it got to a point where I needed to do other things that were important, and I couldn't do them because I had no damn time, energy, or attention left. And so I had to perform this exercise, and some things had to get cut. Like Instagram stories. Great decision. And customer interviews, delegated them to Nick Kalzer. Right? I had to assess. So that answers your question, right? Like, you measure the baseline and then you know what to change to be more efficient in that environment. But when things change later, you'll need to do it again. Because whenever you need to add something or do another project that demands a lot, you have to free up stuff, mostly time and attention and energy. And this is when you do this exercise, right? Whenever you need attention and focus and you don't seem to have it, this is the exercise. Because you can't really do a shitload of stuff and then just like try and willpower out some more attention. It doesn't work. You have to cut some things. And I can tell you that works really well. Nothing actually works as well as that. And the best people in the world at their different things, they know that. And they're real good at doing that. Like, you see Leonardo DiCaprio use social media. You see him do interviews. You see him do anything but a really fucking good movie. No. That dude keeps the main thing the main thing. The best basketball players in the world aren't the ones with the most followers on Instagram or the best YouTube channels. They just fucking win. Winning speaks louder than photos and likes and shit like that. So that exercise is what you should do when you get home. But you need 7 days to do it. We don't have seven. So we need to hypothetically do this for the past 7 days so that we can actually see what places people are putting their time, so that we can, because what will happen is immediately once you see these things, there's going to be a lot of emotional attachment to them because you're doing them. And when I say you've got to cut them, people are going to be crying. So we've got to go through that now to show you how we can rationalize these different things, because otherwise you'll see the thing and you'll justify it to yourself. Oh, I need to keep doing this Instagram story thing. But you don't. So think about the past 7 days. I'll give you a couple of minutes right now. And just write down roughly where you think most of your time goes. Is it like strategy sessions, watching TV, drinking, partying, traveling? Like, just write down percentages of where you think your time goes. And you should have a pretty good idea. I thought you were the one that did the work at the company. You said you did all the work at the company.
Yeah.
So why aren't you writing it down?
I have my calendar. I optimized it very, very good so far.
Write it down. There's no end to optimization.
Yeah.
The best optimizations are the ones when you swear you're as efficient as you can possibly get, and then you still throw out 80% of the shit you're doing.
Yeah.
That's when you're getting into the good stuff. When you're already efficient and now we're getting rid of some stuff.
Yeah.
That's how you go. Because then you're trading winners for better winners. Because you might remove wasteful things. So you've now got mostly constructive things. But now we're sacrificing less constructive things for more constructive things. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not just a game of removing dumb things. It then becomes a game of removing less smart things for more smart things. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm just going to grab a LaCroix while you guys write down these things.